Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. How's it going?
It's good.
You ready to start?
Yeah, you've taken it away. You had me try to start the last one and I failed.
Oh, you just failed miserably. You just rambled for 2 minutes and couldn't just say hello.
Hi.
Hey.
See, that was within 2 minutes.
That was very good.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's kind of surreal because we technically launched our podcast today to the public.
Oh yeah.
But we've been recording several episodes, so I mean this is episode 5
and we're in real deep.
We're super deep. And yet today was the first time we told anybody. So
we've been just secretly recording in
we're
our
literally
very
closet case podcasters.
Oh, should we tell people where we podcast or have we?
I think you mentioned it once before.
Oh.
That we're in this awesome dragon's lair.
Oh no. We're in our closet.
It's got really good acoustics in here.
Yeah,
and sound buffering.
We had tried recording in my studio, but it was not right.
Yeah, it's
so we thought we'd go sit in 2 chairs in our closet and
just
stare at each other
in the eyes
deeply.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay. Well, anyway, I am your host, EK Wimmer.
Hi, EK Wimmer.
Hi.
I'm your wife. My name is Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Welcome back to Laser Graves. Hope you guys have been enjoying it. If you've been listening for a while, and if you're a first-time listener, thanks for joining us. We are continuing on down the 80s train mm-hmm. with discussing a bizarre cultural icon from the 80s, Max Headroom, today.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, how was your day? Because today's kind of a big day for you.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Because
it's the start of your break.
Yeah, I have like 11 days off where I don't have to do anything uh-huh. except entertain your family because they're all coming into town.
Oh, please.
No, it was pretty good. I had a good day. I had an amazing find at the thrift store the other day.
Oh.
I think I texted you like 5 billion texts
you
in a row.
You did.
Rapid fire because mm-hmm. I never have this much luck, but I felt like I found everything at a thrift store.
All of the finds.
From another unicorn wooden plaque mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. artwork to The Wraith on VHS, which I was shocked by. And we were going to cover mm-hmm. that anyway. So now we can watch the version
Authentic.
We have on VHS. Yeah. Well, if it works, I know it'll probably just be all scrambled when we put it in.
All the more authentic.
But that's going to be awesome. Charlie Sheen with
What is it? Tracking? Were you?
Yes, it's tracking.
Oh my gosh. I remember it.
Way to go.
Thank you.
No, I had a good week. How'd your week go?
Great. I've been doing last-minute shopping for the holidays.
Oh, right. Well, by the time this comes out, Christmas
yeah, it's gonna
will
be over.
Past, yeah.
But that's what I'm doing now. And I've been trying to be real empathetic towards the staff or employees. So I try to make eye contact with them and be like, I hope you have a good day. Like, acting nice, but I creeped somebody out today.
I'm sure you did. Do people don't want the eye contact that you give them?
Well, they do.
No.
We, until recently, lived in Wyoming where meaningful eye contact was welcomed. But we've moved to New Mexico to a larger, city. And apparently it's not a thing. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when we go to Europe, I stare people in the face and they think I am a weird American. And apparently Americans also think I'm a weird American.
Well, when you stare at somebody with no reason.
No, I just made it
you feel threatened and you're imposing. You're 6 foot. And well, when you have high heels on, especially, and then it's creepy and you're just staring at them smiling. And I know that you mean well, but
I'm scary.
It's kind of like an insane person.
Hi, have a good day. But yeah, other than scaring somebody at Barnes & Noble today, I've had a great day.
Oh, good. Well, let's get talking so we're not rambling on too much longer.
But we are talking. You just want a different kind of talking.
Yeah. Let's get talking about what we're supposed to talk about.
Okay. And what are we talking about today,
Eric? We're talking about the one and only Max Headroom, who is...
Wait. Huh. We need to just, like, have a little discussion. Is it Headroom or Headroom? Or do you go Max Headroom?
Well, it's kind of like when you don't know somebody's name and you're like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Okay.
No, I've always said Headroom, even though it is
headroom. And then the room.
And we'll get into that. I mean, it's very clear why it's called Headroom, but...
Well, okay.
I say Headroom. I mean, it sounds better. Sounds more cultured.
But is he British?
Je ne sais pas. Is this Max Headroom?
No. You need to do Duolingo a little bit.
No, I did... Duolingo.
But for French, not Spanish.
Oh, right. Okay. Si. So anyway, yeah, let's talk about Max.
Okay.
You know, before we get into the deep dive of Max, this is kind of an overview of how he came to be. And mm-hmm. then really, because in our podcast, we talk about saying that we're going to discuss events. And this is one of the first real events I think we're going to discuss, mm-hmm. right, so far.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess technically episode 3 was an event, but...
What was episode... Excuse me, I burped. What was episode 3?
Murray.
Oh.
No, that's music,
person,
I guess.
Person, place, thing, yeah. or animal.
Anyway, I think that we'll go over it, but we're really going to focus on an event within Max Headroom.
Broadcast signal interruption.
Right. We're going to go into that. But I was just thinking, we both grew up in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember... Max Headroom? Like, was he a part of your childhood at all?
No. So I have 3 memories of watching television before I was 8. One was the news, where I saw something about, like, a child abduction in volcanoes. And now I won't go to Hawaii. And also at that age, I asked for a bodyguard. And I was 4. And then I remember watching some made-for-TV movie. And then... 8.
Did you have
Maybe
cable?
I've only got no.
Well, my parents... Why would you not watch TV?
I don't know.
You like didn't watch Saturday morning cartoons?
I'm sure I did. I mean, my mom was like pregnant when I was 4, so I'm sure she was like, "Here's Sesame Street, watch it." I just don't really remember it. But with regard to Max Headroom, I had like a vague notion of him. But in my mind, I have no idea why, he was, until this very night, I thought he was the same guy who did the neighbor dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You know? Oh,
You thought he was?
I thought that was the actor who did Max Headroom.
Fun fact.
What?
It is.
It is?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You're welcome.
Because then I looked up a photo. I was like, no, it can't be that guy. And you know, I looked it up and it wasn't him.
But you know what we do in the 21st century?
What?
We don't just look at photos. We look at IMDb.
Shut your mouth.
No. So there you go.
It is?
Yeah. I'm so happy that there was a satisfying reaction.
Oh.
So I thought you were going to be like, yeah, dude, I already know.
No, I don't know anything about him. And I have almost no memory. Just beyond like occasionally seeing him on, like, probably products, but
okay, well,
no,
I'm gonna
idea.
Drop some more knowledge on you when
drop
we get to
it.
That. Well, not yet. I've got an outline today.
Okay, so you have to tell me your Max Headroom.
I definitely knew Max Headroom because he was everywhere. So 85 to 87,
mm-hmm. So
88, really. Yeah, I would have been 5 to 8. I would have been 32, dressing like an 8-year-old.
Creepy.
It was, he was everywhere. And I just remember thinking, I remember being really confused. Like, what the hell was this? What, is he human? This is early on, too, with AI and computer mm-hmm. graphics and stuff. So,
oh, yeah, that would have been confusing.
Yeah, it
I
was
suppose.
Really confusing to a young kid. I didn't get... And he was like a VJ. In my mind, he just introduced music videos and stuff, so...
Was he on MTV?
No, he had his own show.
Okay, but, I'm sorry.
But
I'm
he was like a
on your toes.
Kurt Loder, but like a cool Kurt Loder. Oh, sorry, Kurt.
Kurt's very cool.
Okay. Anyway, we're learning something about each other tonight. So, oh, that's why you wanted me to dress like Kurt Loder.
No, ooh, why?
Okay, anyway... I remember him definitely. And then also just popping up from time to time Do you remember him in the spoofs that come up? We'll talk about it later, but he became kind of spoofed and everybody started doing impressions of him with the like stuttering voice and stuff like that. He was really sarcastic. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of like the 80s version of Austin Powers. You know, everybody gave impressions, but nobody asked for an impression from that person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your friends would give...
Oh, my goodness. It was as bad as Austin Powers?
No. Well, no.
Because that was bad.
It was at first funny when your friend did an Austin Powers impression, and then you're like, dude, shut it. Like,
you know what else?
You're not funny anymore.
Was like that Ace Ventura.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got... a legacy. But anyway, with Max, I remember...
Wait, what legacy? It's the obnoxious quotes.
Yeah, obnoxious impressions.
Alrighty then.
I do remember my friends on the playground doing Max Headroom impressions. They'd be, but it would probably be stupid little kid impressions like, is it time to go out for recess? But
so I've actually never seen or have no memory of live... Max Headroom, so he stutter spoke.
What? You suggested this episode.
Only because of signal interruption broadcast, which I know a ton about.
Wow, so more than our listeners, the co-host is going to learn a lot today.
Give me it.
All right, okay, let's do this.
I truly have, like, zero knowledge.
Okay, are you ready?
Beyond New Cook.
Okay. Catch the wave. All right. let's go into it. So Max Headroom, he was conceived in 1984.
Conceived by whom?
By three writers, three creatives.
Not Margaret Thatcher. Okay.
George Stone, Annabelle Jankel, and Rocky Morton. The three of them got together. you know how often you laugh at people's names? It's really rude.
Say him again.
No, I'm not going to say him again. You have to research him on your own.
Jankel?
Yeah, Jankel. Anyway, in 1984, they had this idea for a character that would be AI. And they originally wanted him to be like Johnny Carson. And then that just didn't quite work out. Although he ended up being like a wise ass for sure. And then by 85, they had received enough money to get this started. It was kind of introduced with a made-for-TV movie in 1985. It was like an hour long. I've actually watched it, and it's really cool. It's
when did super you cool. watch it?
I crammed.
What?
It was a couple days ago.
Wow.
I realized I had seen part of it, though, because I started having these flashbacks, and I was like, oh, I've seen part of this before. Huh. It was like a British made-for-TV movie, I think.
Yeah, I know it's British.
Anyway, but he wasn't. He's Canadian-American.
Oh,
so
whatever.
Before we get into the movie, those were the writers. So Matt Frewer is his name. That's the actor that played Max Headroom.
So he's also the dude from the Dawn of the Dead remake, right?
Yeah. I was hoping that you would be excited when I told you that later.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very excited because I totally looked at his picture beforehand and was like, oh, it's not that guy. Why did I think it's that guy?
I felt really... stupid because when we watched the Dawn of the Dead remake in the theater, like when it mm-hmm. came out, we went to the theater and I remember seeing that guy on the screen, recognizing his voice and his face. And I mm-hmm. was like, man, I know that guy from somewhere. And it wasn't Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I mean, I think you watched that more than I have.
I've watched it like 1,100 times.
I remember thinking, like, I really know this guy from my childhood and I could not place it. But that was a time before I would really like instantly look up somebody's film credits. And I just out of sight, out of mind until... a couple days ago when I was getting ready for this episode and I looked into the actor and I was like, what the hell? That's so, the guy from Dawn of the Dead.
That blows my mind because I thought it was him and then I didn't and I was disappointed and now my heart is full.
Oh, but then when you go watch old episodes of Max Headroom, you're like, oh, it's totally that guy.
I have to now.
Yeah. I mean, his voice is crystal clear. You can hear his
voice.
Yeah,
he has
right
a very distinctive voice.
Yeah. A really distinctive delivery too and kind of cadence in his tone. Mm-hmm. So that's who was cast.
Okay.
One thing that I thought was pretty cool beyond the Dawn of the Dead and Honey, I Shrunk the Kid, his first acting credit was a pretty good one. You know, like when we talk about what was your first concert and somebody's like, oh, I went to so-and-so and you're, damn, that's way cooler than me.
Michael Martin Murphy.
Yeah. Well, you just say that with confidence. His first movie was a part in Monty Python, The Meaning of Life.
Oh.
I know. I thought that was really cool. And he was credited as like executive that jumps out the window or something. Like
so
a very
cool.
Monty Python
He
credit.
Should have ended his career right there.
Right there, yeah.
I mean, he did some really good stuff afterwards, but that would be pretty cool.
No, so that's who the cast... he was cast as Max.
And, okay.
And then they got this film made. And what it is it takes place, it's a dystopian future. You'd like it. It's very post-apocalyptic kind mm-hmm. of. And it's very cyberpunk, kind of before cyberpunk was really... I mean, it was
so
kind of
like
there.
Proto-cyberpunk?
In a way. It was more like contemporary cyberpunk, if that makes sense. Like, it was happening at the time in which it was really
okay.
coming into its own. The whole premise is that it's in the future, this dystopian future. TV stations rule everything, and it's all about, like, ratings, and they control the society, and...
Oh, my gosh.
It's really interesting.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
it's
so
pretty
excited.
Cool. Yeah, it's a fun watch, too. Anyway, there is this guy. He's the star reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He's an investigator and a reporter, and his name's Edison Carter, and he's the lead, and it is played by the guy who plays Max Headroom. Like, it's
Whoa.
His character. Well, he's the lead reporter. And he works for the biggest company called Network 23, and they kind of have a stronghold on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is interested in doing investigative reporting, and in his investigation into these corrupt TV stations, he finds out that his own TV station
is corrupt.
Is like the most corrupt. They are creating these things called blipverts that are signals that can kill people. Through watching advertisements through the programs.
Yeah, that's
so,
a thing now.
Yeah, and he's like, holy crap. We got to put an end to this, like, now. Like,
why
yesterday.
Why would they want to kill people?
It's,
or do they
know,
work for
chaos.
The government? Or are they just, like, trying to kill the people who are buying their product?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We'll let somebody
just
fill
curious
us in.
About the plot.
Also, disclaimer on this episode, mm-hmm. I have a very loose grasp on all this. So if there are subtleties, don't be that person that's like, well, actually, blipverts were created
in
1984.
Be that person and send Eric a direct link. He really loves that kind of feedback.
I do. I will pin it up on my wall and then I'll study it. And then I'll cry before every episode from here on out.
Oh.
And be like, be better, be better. I'll look at myself in the mirror like Rob Lowe in
don't do that.
Parks and Rec.
Stop pooping.
So he works for Network 23. He's starting to realize that his company is really corrupt. They're starting to kill people through these signals. And he puts together evidence. And he's going to kind of out them.
Going to bust them on
yeah.
their own station. They'll for
right.
sure let that happen.
He's trying to make a getaway. And he ends up running into, you know, in the parking garages, how there are the arms that come down
mm-hmm.
so you can't go?
Yep.
He hits it, and it almost kills him. And the last things he sees is the words across the arm of the parking garage thing. And it says, Max Headroom, 2.3 meters.
Oh,
because that was
snap.
Yeah. So that's where he gets his name from. So, yes, it is Headroom.
Because he reached his maximum headroom.
So they think he's dead, but he's not. And they're freaking out.
Did he enter the Matrix?
No.
Oh.
The Matrix entered him.
Ooh, gross.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he is almost killed. The company's freaking out because they're thinking, like, he's our star reporter.
But weren't they trying to kill him?
Well, no. They knew he was onto something, so they wanted to kind of get a hold of it before he went public with it.
Okay.
So they realize he's the star, and they need to keep the ratings up so that they have a control.
Okay.
So they take his consciousness and they put it into an AI.
Uh-huh.
And
obviously, like you do.
Right. Keep in mind that this character, Max Headroom, that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
was billed as the first kind of computer-generated host of all time,
ooh,
which is really cool.
That is kind of...
So, the concept is they take his consciousness, they put it into an AI. But...
Like his consciousness, like the soul goes
yeah.
into an AI?
But because it's a rush job, it does not turn out to be a clone of Edison Carter. It turns out to be Max Headroom, who's this, like, wisecracking... asshole who...
He's like a sassy fellow.
He's like sassy, glitches a lot because that didn't quite work out right. His
okay.
voice modulates a lot. I mean,
but it's not the guy at all.
No, it's like a version of him.
Okay.
And so they create him And he's nothing, you know, he's a problem, obviously, because it's not.
But he doesn't exist in three dimensions. He's like on a computer.
Yeah, he's computerly generated. Yeah, he's an AI.
Okay.
So he's there. He's now been created.
Mm-hmm.
And then the company realizes that they've done a bad job and he's a problem. And they're like, you know what? Let's just get rid of him. Let's get mm-hmm. rid of the original body, because they realize that.
Oh, they kept his body.
Well, he didn't die. He is like.
What?
Well, they thought he had died, but he just got seriously injured. So he's like in a coma.
Okay.
And so they were like, you know what? Get rid of the corpse or get rid of the body and let's kill this AI because nothing's working.
Okay.
And they go to ditch it. But what ends up happening is that Max gets kind of, I don't remember quite clearly what happens, but he basically gets involved in a pirate radio station or a pirate radio TV program thing.
Yes.
And the ratings go up because everybody's like, who's this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then now they've got their own star coming up.
Cool.
And it's causing a conflict with the system.
So is his pirated show not on their, like?
No, it's not on their network.
So they're competing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's happening. And also the whole concept of Max Headroom was to be like a satire on rock star TV personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the Matt Lauers, right? You know, like the
Ugh.
People who think they're above everything. You know, mm-hmm. minus the like rape button under his desk or whatever. But you know
Matt
what I mean?
Lauer's
like
gross.
It was kind of a play on let's make fun of how corrupt and how TV personalities think that they mm-hmm. own the world,
mm-hmm.
which, wow, it's very timely when you think about it, because TV personalities still definitely have a sense of like being royalty. That's why he was created. So long story short, he couples with the controller that's in the TV station,
mm-hmm.
Who was this like total 80s babe. And then a couple other people.
Wait, he's like flirting with an actual human, even though he's a computer?
No. So Edison regains consciousness. He comes
Ooh.
Back and he's like, what? And then he teams up with Max. He teams up with the controller and he teams up with a couple
he's
other
like,
people.
We're in line with each other. Mm. We're of one mind.
And then they overthrow the network and
Ooh.
The film ends. It's really
Does
cool.
Does it end with Max Headroom like shooting out of like an electrical outlet into his brain?
Like Dougie style?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
So that's the quick and dirty version, and I'm sure I screwed a lot up, but it's enough to get going, right?
Okay, sure.
Okay. So that was the first introduction,
mm-hmm.
and it sparked, like, what did we just watch? It
so
was
people
crazy.
People were enthusiastic.
People were totally into it.
Positive
and
reviews.
And it got greenlit to then start a bunch of spinoffs.
And by spinoffs, do you mean just, like, ad campaigns?
Well, it was a combination of ad campaigns, but then he had actual TV programs. So the first major one was called The Max Headroom Show, and that ran from 85 to 87.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I remember, where he was like VJing. So he would come on, he would introduce musical videos.
I feel like I have like a fleeting memory of that.
Yeah, I feel like anybody in the 80s
But no,
would've.
I had zero access to MTV until like 89 or 90.
Mm. So he did that. He was like introducing videos and stuff like that. And then.
Wait, it was VH1. Sorry.
And then there was the original Max Talking Headroom show from 87, where he interviewed people. It was like a talk show.
Woo.
But it was.
Like, Space Ghost Coast to Coast, but with
yeah,
Max Headroom.
That's a good example. But it was more like the Liquid Television version. Do you remember Liquid Television?
Oh,
from?
Yeah.
Where it was
That's
like,
where I discovered Tricky.
Yeah, it was like a acid talk show kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt. Like the introductions and everything. It was really bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do these weird... Well, if you've ever watched Max talk, he's just... The whole character is so bizarre and surreal anyway. And then he would mm-hmm. bring real celebrities on and interview them.
Oh my gosh, I really want to watch this.
Yeah, they're cool. They're all on YouTube. You could watch it.
That's all.
And
I'm
then
doing now.
The real main... chunk of it was then in 87 to 88, there were two seasons of the actual Max Headroom like TV
mm-hmm.
series, where they took that film and they basically made it into an actual TV series.
Oh,
so
they
with
like
episodes.
Broke it down.
Yeah, it's
okay.
pretty cool.
Was the same guy doing it?
Yeah, everybody. Yeah,
so he just redid what he already did?
Yeah, well, he was Max. I mean, that was, it's kind of like Robert Englund being Freddy Krueger. You can... you can bring in the other dude, but it won't work. So
sure.
That was his character. And that's kind of the overview of Max's contribution as far as on TV. Uh-huh. But he was, I can't even kind of put it into words. He was everywhere. I mean, he was just a phenomenon. He came out of nowhere, and it only lasted a couple of years, but he just took the world by storm. And it was an artificial, it was a weird character actor.
So did he use, like, makeup, and then they made it, like...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Computer? I mean, what do they do? Because the 80s technology is so strange. Do you have any insight?
I do. And this is what I think I probably like the most. I mean, the character is really fun. He did a great job with it. And mm-hmm. the whole concept is really cool, right up my alley. But it's really more about the technical side of creating this character that mm-hmm. I think was way ahead of the game. And just... You know, I think all good art is kind of ahead of the curve anyway. And what happened was they knew when they were conceptualizing this character, they needed to have a computer generated mm-hmm. person, but they didn't have the technology yet.
So was it like an animation?
No, it was a combination of weird things. So he had this fiberglass costume that he wore.
Whoa.
He would put on. It was huge.
Yeah.
It took like 4.5 hours to put this guy together. They would put on this fiberglass costume. Mm-hmm. They would kind of smooth his hair into that weird, you know, he had that like weird slick back latex looking feel.
Mm-hmm.
They would put in these extremely huge, weird contacts in his eyes to give him that computer look. And then they would build all these prosthetics, like his chin and all that kind of stuff.
He was like plasticky looking.
Yeah. And to give him this computer look, and then they would shoot it with just a single light so that it would have that feel, and then the background with all the lasers, you know, that the like iconic rotating lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, like with the movie, that was hand done because they didn't even have the technology yet. And then eventually down the road, they did go into the computer-generated lines.
So it was kind of like riding the wave of that like technology.
Yeah, it was a Commodore Amiga is what they used eventually for the computer-generated lines.
That sounds like a car's name.
Well, you know, like the Commodore 64, the game system and stuff.
I don't.
It was just, anyway.
I don't.
So
Nintendo.
But it was insane. He had the, you know how he wore the shades too? That was really iconic.
Mm-hmm.
The like Ray-Ban shades. Do you know why he had those shades?
Mm-mm.
The contacts that he was wearing were so extreme and so harsh, they lacerated his corneas. So he couldn't, like, they put the shades on until his eyes could basically heal.
Ugh.
Because it was so grueling on him.
So then they just kept the shades and decided not to damage his eyeballs?
Well, they would occasionally from time to time put it in. But yeah, they realized like, oh crap,
gosh,
this probably isn't a good idea.
Lacerated corneas sounds bad.
Sounds like a cool band to me.
Lacerated corneas? I like it.
Okay, so...
Oh, are you handing it over to me now?
Well, I'm just wondering if you have any other questions, because I was realizing that this is kind of to you and our listeners, which is fun. We've never done this before.
No. And what's the actor's name again? Because I feel like I really like him now.
Yeah, it was Matt is his first name. Matt Frewer.
Max?
No. Matt. I like him, too. He's got a great voice.
He also was very, when he was in the Dawn of the Dead remake and he was bitten by a zombie and then he was turning into a zombie, it was very sad.
Yeah, it was.
I felt badly for him.
Okay. So.
So good job acting. And I want to look more into him.
I want to set the stage a little bit before you take over on the whole signal thing, because the lead up to why this happened was he was, like I said, everywhere. He was on everybody. He was kind of what was happening at the moment. He was being spoofed. He was everywhere. The one that I remember the most, I don't even know when this came out, probably not the 80s, probably the 90s, but I remember thinking it was hilarious that they did a throwback to Max was, remember Spaceballs, the Mel Brooks movie?
Of course.
Pizza the Hut is going to eat you. The Vinny, his like goon on the side, is a spoof on Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was really funny.
Did that come out in the 80s or that was the 90s?
I don't know.
I would like to cover that. I feel like that's 80s. Spaceballs? Because it has Rick Moranis, and he only existed in the 1980s.
That's true.
He jumped into a time warp, and it looped him back to the beginning of the 1980s. And that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Actually, I think his wife died, and he's been taking care of his kids like a true gentleman. But
he's the gatekeeper. No, he's the keymaster. Which one is he?
Keymaster. He's the keymaster for sure.
I can hear so many people like screaming right now.
Shut your face.
You guys
he's
don't deserve
keymaster.
To have microphones.
We bought them and we're sitting in our closet.
So we can say whatever we want.
I'm the keymaster to this microphone.
I just wanted to kind of lay that groundwork that he, in addition to the whole like celebrity status, he really was everywhere. And he also had a, the most famous was the gig with Coke, you know, the
new Coke,
Catch the Wave, but with a stutter, Catch the Wave. So he would, that was the thing. I remember those commercials vividly because I thought they were cool.
Zero recollection of them.
So I'm going to hand it over to you because this is something I don't know about. I've heard about in passing.
Well, I made you watch it.
Right. And this is really what sparked the whole episode idea.
Because I only knew about this.
Okay, well, and I only knew about Max Head. So, hey, teamwork.
Together, complete whole.
Yeah.
High five. In the closet. Okay, so I have really extensive notes for me, so you can hear the paper. Yeah. A page and a half, dude.
Dude.
Okay, So I'm going to dive right into this because it's pretty weird. I hope you've heard of this before. If not, you should probably pause after I talk about it. And
are we going to play a clip from it?
We probably should.
When do you want to do that?
When you feel like it. So,
do you want to do it now?
Okay, ready?
Set, go.
That is the only way to learn.
I'll get you a hot drink, miss.
Some dry clothes.
Chips worse than
okay.
And we're back. That was weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So on November 22nd, 1987, we're talking Chicago in the 80s.
Wait, what did you just say?
Chicago.
Okay. Just checking.
In the 1980s, I was six when this happened, so I have no actual memory during the time. I found out about it when I was like a college student, and it was really fascinating to me.
This is going to be really fascinating, but I can't get this off my mind.
What?
Chicago. Who?
Chicago.
Gruff McGruff. The
Scruff McGruff. Chicago, Illinois. 60652.
Okay. Well, that was the 80s.
Yep.
I'm just planting that seed.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So on November 27th, did you just know it's like Pavlovian that I would have to say it?
I rang the McGruff, Scruff McGruff bell.
I hope you got that for me for Christmas.
I did.
Okay. 1987, there was a TV signal. It was actually two different times that was hijacked. So there were two different intrusions. The first one lasted only 25 seconds, and it interrupted a sportscast on WGN TV, Channel 9, in case you were wondering, in case you want to check back on Channel 9.
I was going to ask you
see
about
what's
it.
Happening now.
What channel? 9?
And then the second intrusion was 2 hours later on PBS. It was actually a PBS affiliate called WTTW.
It was the same person?
Same. I'll get to it.
Are you going to go?
I'll go through it.
Okay. I'm just so curious.
I'm just giving you a little synopsis of what we're going to dive into here.
Okay.
So this second intrusion lasted for about a minute and a half. It interrupted Doctor Who and Horror of Fang Rock, which I've never heard of.
Ooh,
and I really
I definitely want
to
check
see.
That out. Mm-hmm.
So it lasted longer. About a minute and a half because there are actually no engineers on duty to turn it off. So the video was pre-recorded. They didn't do like a live broadcast over TV. And it featured at least two people, but I kind of feel like it might be three because I assume somebody was holding the camera. Yeah. Although it could have been on a stand. Who knows? But I kind of feel like there were three.
This has a kind of Hack the Planet feel, right? Like,
oh,
with that scene.
Don't even. I'm going into hackers, dude.
Oh, okay.
Dude. Okay.
I need a name, man.
Okay. So the first interruption, let me talk you through it. So this was over a live broadcast of sports. I don't even know. Like, if you look it up, you can find out what sports it was interrupting. I don't like sports. I don't care about sports. I'm tall. Don't ask me if I do basketball. Who cares?
But you have done basketball.
Shh. There was, okay, so some sportscaster whose name I refuse to write down. I'm sure he's lovely, but anti-sports. There's a black screen in the midst of a broadcast. It was at like 9 o'clock at night. Then it cut to a video of a person. You're laughing at me.
I just couldn't. I'm just so sad that you didn't have the broadcaster's name.
It's like Shroutsky or Skowski.
No.
It's like.
People had cool names in
there's
the
80s. A lot of syllables.
It was like.
Actually, I think there's only two.
It was like Johnny Mick something.
Okay, so there's a black screen, and then it cut to a video of a person in it who was wearing a Max Headroom mask, but it was, like, really large, just a big plastic mask, and it's kind of, like, tucked into a blazer, or, yeah, like, with shoulder pads, like a suit, but kind of an 80s-style suit. Then it cut to a video of him. The person stood in front of a, like, they had, like, corrugated metal, you know, like, warpy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were trying to mimic what you described as the lasers.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But it's like, I'm doing the motion. Hopefully you guys can see that through the podcast.
I can see it.
So it was like waving at angles to like up and down, up and down.
When you're like, oh, there's a thunderstorm and you're
not
rattling
back and forth,
tin.
More like at different angles. So like sideways, vertical to horizontal, back and forth, back and forth. So he was standing in front of this, but there were no words spoken. It was at this point that the staff, who were like the engineers or whoever it was that takes care of interrupted broadcasts, they just jumped to another frequency and that was the end of it. And then the sportscaster is like, well, whatever that was, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I bet he was so suave
and
about it.
Back to sports.
Yeah.
My name's Sports Guy.
I wouldn't have hung out with that guy in my time.
That was creepy. Getting back to sports. Okay. So then, 2 hours later, is the approximately, don't give me the exact time.
No,
I
have a question, though, before we go into it.
Okay.
What was the range that this affected? Was it just Chicago?
Yeah. Only Chicago, but it was, I think, the greater Chicago area.
So Scruff McGruff, he was like...
Scruff McGruff
was his stomping ground.
He pulled out his little spyglass and was trying to find it.
He was looking for Max.
But he only had like 25 seconds, so he didn't succeed.
Fail.
So all that there really was in that video was like a buzzing sound as Max Headroom mask guy was nodding up and down. It's pretty creepy.
It's really creepy.
That's nothing compared to the second. So around 11:15, the WTTW, which is a PBS affiliate station, experienced a similar hijacked. But this time it was a little more, let's say, interesting or creepy.
Should we play another clip?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, ready, go.
As far as I can tell, a massive electric shock. He died instantly.
The generator? Are you always so...
Okay.
And
we're
back.
Like that? Crip. Nope, not crip.
That
Clip.
Was... It's creepy, dude.
It is super creepy.
I would not want to be watching Doctor Who or whatever was on.
Doctor Who and what is it?
The
Fang,
cool one.
The Horror of Fang Rock.
Yeah. I would be really creeped out. That...
So it was like
it's creepy
late night.
Looking.
People are watching their shows and then it goes to static. And so then we get to the same Max Headroom scenario, and he says, that does it. He's a frickin', not freakin', no bad language, frickin' nerd. And it kind of seems like it's in reference to the sportscaster, because I think he calls him out by name. He calls him a frickin' liberal.
Oh, here we go.
And then he moans, he laughs, he screams, but his laughs are like high-pitched.
Yeah. Well, do you think that they were doing voice alteration to mimic Max Headroom
It sounds really weird. It doesn't sound like a person's normal speaking voice. You can obviously tell from the clip we just played. But he says some stuff that I can't really understand. He says the new Coke slogan, catch the wave, and he's holding a Pepsi can. So he's like
this
clearly,
guy is awesome already.
Clearly an anarchist. And I think it's a man, but we don't actually know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean...
Really, though.
It seems like a man, and it seems... I don't know.
Women have better things to do than this.
I feel like women would be a little more sophisticated than this continues to go down, but...
Who knows?
I don't know.
Crazier things have happened.
I make a lot of fart jokes, so we'll see. So he's holding a Pepsi can. Then he shows a rubber, like, gloved hand. Well, it's like his hand, but it's like the middle finger is extra long. Some people say it's a dildo, but I think it's just a middle finger extension. So he's kind of like flipping off, but it only comes up partway through the camera. Like he didn't quite know the range of his reach. I'm not really sure. So he does some more like moaning and stuff. And then he is partially out of view. He grabs the Pepsi can again, and then he sings... Obviously, like that's your next logical step.
It's all very,
it's really weird. And the whole,
it's just nonsensical.
The whole time, this background is going like up and down. You feel like it's kind of on a boat. And this guy's like leaning side to side and he's moaning and it's like voice modulation or whatever it is he's doing.
It feels like a wasted, I mean, if you you've captured the audience, you could do anything, show anything.
This is what. This person
he's just like moaning and looking creepy. You know what it reminds me of is, you know that movie, Dr. Caligari? Mm-hmm. Not The Cabinet or Dr. Caligari, but Dr. Caligari.
The 80s movie? We've got to cover
it. I don't think it's 80s.
No, it's got to be 80s.
No, but that guy's first film was, although we wouldn't watch it because it's pretty nasty. But anyway.
Oh. Well, Dr. Caligari.
Yeah, Dr. Caligari is kind of nasty too. But do you remember how weird, it's like these weird angles.
Yeah,
and all the characters look like they're in prosthetic costumes in a way. And
I want to watch that again.
It feels like this. It's just really bizarre.
It's very unsettling.
It's like an art house hack.
Yes, let me get to that. Okay. But so it feels really weird. So he starts to sing. He says, your love is fading. He then hums the scene or the theme to a show called Clutch Cargo. And the title alone made me not even care to look it up because I seriously, that is the most boring title you can ever come up with for a show. Clutch Cargo.
Yeah, that is really boring.
Do you want to watch that show? Because I instantly wanted to not watch it.
No, because I don't like the word clutch. It's like moist. It's a bad word. And then cargo is like probably one of the most boring words I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, probably because of cargo pants. But anyway.
Absolutely. It's for sure. Like, I just pictured somebody like...
Here comes Clutch in his cargo pants.
Yep, that's better. Better than what I pictured. So he then says something. It's kind of debated. Some people think he says, I stole CBS. But I don't think he is saying that. I think he's saying, I still see the X, which is a reference to the final episode of Clutch Cargo, I guess. So either or. He's saying something, and it doesn't make sense. Then he moans, and then he says something that sounds kind of like files, but he's talking about piles, which is a reference to poo, I believe.
Okay.
I don't usually say poo. Poop. It felt weird to say poo. Okay, and then he...
You looked uncomfortable saying poo.
Poo. So then he makes some fart sounds, and there's like kind of uncomfortable dancing, like... shuffling and shifting, and then he says, I think he's supposed to be trying to poop. I think that's kind of the motion
he's
trying to...
Is that what he's
doing? Well, I mean, it looks like he's uncomfortable. And then he says, I made a giant masterpiece for all the greatest world newspaper nerds. And then...
this guy's awesome.
WGN was kind of a play on the words, like world's greatest newspaper. It was actually owned by the Chicago Tribune. So okay. It seems that he's speaking out to them.
We call it the Chicago Trib. Just a FYI.
Okay. Then he holds up a glove, like a dirty glove, but it's not like a latex glove. It's like a garden glove or something, like canvassy looking.
Ooh.
And he says, "My brother is wearing the other one." Which,
what?
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like a Lynch film at this point.
Yes, very much so. Like, of course, you and I are like instantly 0 to 10, but I think the average person was like 0 to question mark. Like, what am I watching? So he says,
I just imagine the average person in Chicago just being like, get this guy off my station. Actually, I don't know. You know Chicago accents. What are they?
My name's Mr. Butterfield.
That is not Chicago. Oh, why did I even kind of
my
ask?
Daughter, Christy Mae okay, Butterfield.
Right. Anyway, no. None of that's working for me. Okay. You don't know a Chicago accent.
Okay. So he puts on the glove. And then he looks at it and he's like, but it's dirty. It's like it's got blood stains.
He says that?
Yeah. And then he throws the glove. He takes it off and he throws it. And then we cut to a new angle. So it's a side angle. And we don't see his head anymore because his head is like cut out of the view. We only see his like part of the suit that he's wearing and his exposed butt cheeks. But he holds the mask out. So like he's leaning out of the camera, but he's reaching back around with a mask. And some people say there's the middle finger, the extension within the mouth of the mask. I couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
And then he holds the mask up to the camera while his head is leaned out of view. And he's moaning, "They're coming to get me." All while this, like, background's going up and down, and it's, like, crazy sounding. Then a person in a French maid costume, I think it's a woman, but I don't actually know that, she tells him to bend over, and then she hits his butt with a fly swatter, and he screams, "Oh, do it."
What?
And that's the end of the broadcast.
Man.
So what happened was, like, why did this go on so long? As people were watching it, all of the engineers in Chicago apparently were asleep and they couldn't, like, deal with it. They weren't there to,
sure,
like, jump station because it was 11. And we know all people from Chicago. Are they Chicagoans? Yeah, I think it's Chicagoans.
I don't know.
They go to bed at 9:30.
Yeah. They have pizza and then they go to bed.
Yep.
Okay.
The wind blows them to sleep. Okay.
Good one.
Yep. So that's the end of that. And they don't know who did this.
Still?
No.
Nothing?
No, I looked into it. There's this guy on Reddit who's like, "I know."
And oh, sure.
This is where it gets interesting.
Guys, Mom, I'll be right up. First, I have to post on Reddit that I know who it was.
You're right. So this guy's like he is self-admittedly a dork, but I read the article and he says, "I've actually cleared the people I accused." But back in the 80s, all of these people apparently were like hackers, but not computer hackers, like TV hackers.
Cool.
And they were
cool
doing
hackers.
Things. Okay. He,
come on.
He and the Reddit guy actually says it's like basement dwellers. He actually describes them as people who live in their parents' basement.
You can get a lot done in your parents' basement.
Sure, because you have no other concerns beyond what a loser you are.
Right. You're like, "Mom, where's the pizza?" And then she brings it down and she brings you your catch the wave. You have your Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sit there
and
hack
you throw
all
it.
Day.
You get a Pepsi instead.
Yeah, you just hack him.
So, okay. So I kind of feel like it's hackers who are also art nerds. That's my personal theory. Like, they were going to art school, but they had some, like, nerdy art hacking. Although, it was clear, I actually read a Chicago Tribune article on it that came out.
Chicago Trib.
Shig Trib.
Touché. I didn't know.
It came out.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. So it came out last year, and they are still saying that nobody knows. And really, the fines are about $10,000 and like a year in jail max.
Did Robert Hedren? Stack ever do an episode on it?
Oh my gosh, I hope he did. I doubt it.
On Unsolved Mysteries.
I love Robert. We've got to do a Robert
Stack.
And
then the Wanted poster is just butt cheeks with a fly swatter.
So this kind of inspired me to see, like, I didn't realize how easy it was. You just need to have enough money. Not now, but in the 1980s, you needed to just have enough money and equipment to be able to hack. I guess it wasn't really a big deal. And so I wondered, like, was this a thing that people were doing in the 1980s? Was it like a
nerd trend? Yeah, sure.
Yes, and I found two more. There's actually a whole bunch, but I just chose two.
I wonder if we could do, like, for events, a episode on 80s hacking.
80s hacking.
Well, maybe. This is really the cool one.
Let's just cover, what was his name? Something cool.
Dade Cool. No. Zero Cool.
Zero Cool. His is the 80s hacking case.
Was that in the 80s? Oh, it was, because he's a kid.
He came out of his seclusion in the 90s.
Yeah.
To wear rollerblades and hack away, hack the planet.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, so there were two others that I wanted to talk about. One was the Southern Television hack for signal broadcast interruption specifically. That was 6 minutes long. And in this one, the person claimed to be a representative of the Intergalactic Association.
What? Was this the 80s?
Yeah. 1977.
Oh, okay.
Calm down. I'm not going to go into it. It falls within our realm.
Mm-hmm.
So they told people to get rid of their weapons and said, we only have so much time on this planet.
That's kind of a nice hack.
Kind of, yeah. And then the other one is Captain Midnight, which we should have named this podcast Captain Midnight.
No.
Electric Grandmother.
No.
Hot Snow.
No.
Okay. So
Unicorn
shoulder pads.
Shoulder pads, yeah.
Okay, so Captain Midnight, it happened in 1986, and this signal broadcast interruption is really stupid. It was only 4.5 minutes.
So only? That's a
It was four
ton
and a half,
of time.
Okay. I mean, it's way longer, but they didn't do anything creepy. They were just, like, lame babies. So they took over the whole eastern half of the United States.
Whoa,
HBO.
And they did nothing with it?
No, they complained about pricing.
Oh.
I know. And then the dum-dum was caught because... because they were boasting about what they had done on a payphone and somebody overheard them. Turn them in.
Like on Hackers, when Joey is like, I hacked an ATM.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matthew Lillard's like, that's universally stupid, man.
How often are we going to quote?
Well, apparently Hackers is like knee deep in 80s references because it keeps coming up.
So anyway, my theory about Max Hedren, signal.
Yes.
Hedren. Hedren?
Hedren.
Hedren.
Just say it cool with confidence.
Max.
No, don't do that. like Danny Hedren. Hedren.
Oh.
So
nope.
Say it like that.
Not Redrum.
No, Hedren.
I'm going to say it like Mr. Butterfield.
Don't say it. Okay.
So I feel like it was like kind of technologically savvy art nerds.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think there was really anything nefarious planned, although it's really creepy and unsettling. I don't really feel like they had ill intent, because if they had, they would have done more. I think they were just kind of seeing what they could get away with. In my mind, they're like 20-somethings who just had some fun with it.
And there is no tie to any other hacking by the same people?
I don't think so. Not that I uncovered in my really deep Wikipedia and general Google research.
Only the best.
Yep.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I think with the combination of the Max Hedren story and then this weird hack using him as a catalyst for just... well, when you think about what Max was, the character, this artificial representation on TV,
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really taking over people.
It's really a smart choice for
these
people to use him for that kind of a hack.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I'd kind of seen it, knew about it a little bit, but when we watched it again, oh man, it is very strange. Although I'd watch that movie.
It's super creepy, but you know, my favorite part is the when he says catch the wave and then he has a Pepsi.
Man.
I mean, I don't.
That's hardcore.
I'm neither Coke nor Pepsi. Both are gross, but I like that he's.
Yeah.
Mixing it up.
Subtle little jab there.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you feel about, what do you think about all that? It's just bored teenager, a bored 20-somethings?
I feel
college?
Like it's 20-somethings. I don't feel like teenagers could have done it. They obviously have some capital because they would have, like I looked into it a little bit, and they would have needed to have the reach that they had. They would have had to have fairly sophisticated equipment and a lot of power. I guess the process of hacking in wasn't really a big deal, but it was just the power that they needed to reach so many people.
Hmm.
So they had to have some money. But, I mean, who doesn't know a rich kid with some money to burn?
Also, how cool to have a Max Headroom mask. That's pretty cool.
I have 11.
No, you don't. And I think that it...
All under your side of the bed.
Hey, fun fact. I dressed up as Max Headroom when I was a kid one
time. What?
Yeah. I tried to be cool, and I slicked my hair back, and I wore shades. True story.
That's really nerdy.
Is it?
Oh.
Dig deep inside and ask yourself.
Well, if we had run into each other, I would definitely not have understood the reference.
Yeah, that would have been great. Like, what's this creep? Well, that was fun. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for bringing up this subject that you apparently knew nothing about with Max. But
I don't know Max, but I had watched the Signal broadcast. I would say I watch it once a year. I have no idea. I'll just like think of it and be like, that's so creepy. I should watch it.
It is really creepy.
So I'm happy to know a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm also happy to know that I was right as usual and that it was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids guy.
Yeah,
I
good call.
I doubted myself.
And a little reference to Max in more recent times. Do you remember he was the voice of the AI in Ready Player One?
What?
Yeah, remember he like programmed him to sound like Max.
Oh, Adam? Yeah. That was such a good book.
It was a great book, yeah.
The movie's okay.
Yeah. I mean, they did the best they could.
They did what they could. Yeah. It was just too much
of a book.
That book
was where it's at.
It was fun.
Book, we could. We'll get into that later.
Wait, what?
Time travel.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We're discussing the idea of down the road, maybe doing a Patreon where we time travel to discuss
80s crossovers.
Yeah, things that took place in the 80s that weren't made in the 80s.
Also,
that would definitely qualify.
Also, another crossover where we exclusively dissect the plot to Fried Green Tomatoes.
No, this is the first I'm hearing of this, and I'm just going to go ahead and say a definitive no on that.
I don't even remember what it's about.
Okay, well.
I think there are tomatoes.
Well, that's it. That was fun. That was weird. Thanks for listening. As always, you can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You can find us at Instagram at Laser Graves. You can find me at EK Wimmer on Instagram. Find Mariah at Maria.
At M-A-R-I-A RoseWimmer.com.
That's
nope,
right.
Nope, not .com. I say
that
.com every time.
Insane.
I cannot
do that?
Say it.
Okay, well, it's cool. I mean, they knew. It was...
I'm on Instagram. Jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez, guys.
And next week, we are coming at you. What are we doing? Oh, we're doing Monster Dog, 1984 with Alice Cooper.
I remember it well, but I'm excited to watch
it
again.
I'm very excited to watch it again. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. As always, thanks. And we'll see
you
again next week. Bye.
Goodbye.